Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about. Tech Guide. It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features. Tech Guide. This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere. Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Tech Guide, episode 72. Welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. We're going to kick things off this week with the rumor that Apple is working on larger screen iPhones. We're going to talk about the new iPad mini with Retina display, which has just gone on sale. And also, we're going to chat about the new mountable Bluetooth speaker from Aussie company Studio Proper. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at Garmin's Approach S4 Golf GPS watch, Pure's new Contour One i1 air speaker system, and the huge Sony Xperia Z Ultra smartphone. And we'll wrap it up, as we do every week, with your tech questions in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump right in. All right, we're going to kick it off with a very strong rumor coming out of the Apple rumor mill. It's always a very popular rumor mill, that one. But this rumor comes, it's actually from Bloomberg, so it's a pretty reputable site behind this one. And their sources are saying that Apple is working on not one, but two larger screen iPhones. Now, we've recently seen the iPhone 5C and the iPhone 5S, and they retained, the 5S retained a very similar design to the 5, but it also had the same screen size, and that's a 4-inch screen. Now, when you place the iPhone among all the other smartphone competitors in the market, you see that it is literally dwarfed by the opposition. There's a photo on a story I've written about this subject on Tech Guide, and the iPhone 5S is sitting beside the Galaxy Note 3 and the Sony Xperia Z Ultra, which we're going to talk about later in the reviews. And you'll see it is very, very small in comparison to these other devices. The Samsung, the worldwide market leader, has seen lots of success with their Galaxy S phones, the Galaxy S4 being the latest. It has a 5-inch screen. But the norm nowadays, you're looking at 4.7, 4.8, 5 inches has now become the new normal for smartphones. And Apple is lagging behind in the screen phone stakes. Now, Apple is still very popular in the smartphone market. They're second to Samsung. They still have quite a decent market share. But their reasoning behind retaining their smaller screen when it was first introduced with the iPhone 5 last year was that they wanted to maintain the ability for users to still use it with one hand so the thumb can reach all the way across the screen, using the device, activate the apps, whatever they need to do, all with one hand. So just probably more importantly, they wanted to have a screen size that would still retain the app's scalability. So apps that worked on the previous 3.5-inch screen would scale up and work still on the 4-inch screen. So I think that's something that Apple really has to take in mind if they are working on these larger screen iPhones, that the apps still have to work. I'm pretty sure that's front of mind for Apple because there are now more than a million apps in the App Store, and they want every one of those to continue to be working on the iPhone. But the sizes they're talking about, according to this story, is a 4.7-inch screen and the other a 5.5-inch display. So that'll be interesting to see how that would work out. Well, I'd imagine if they are working on those two screen sizes, they would have, they'd probably retain the iPhone 5 as the smaller device and then go up to the 4.7 as maybe their HD or and the 5.5 as the Pro, iPhone Pro, I don't know, whatever, however they're going to call it. But these are rumors, as I said, at this stage. But I think a lot of people are I've noticed a lot of people anyway, a lot of feedback I've got since the introduction of the Galaxy S3 and now the S4, that a lot of people are steering away from the iPhone, that they're either changing, not just a change to an Android operating system, but that they want a bigger screen experience. They want to use their apps and experience their smartphone on a much larger scale. So I think Apple, I'd love to see a larger screen iPhone. Apple, their iPhone, as I said, is still a pretty popular product in the marketplace. But if they do decide to increase the size, I for one would be happy to see it. The people, the response I've got from the story that when I published this on Tech Guide, the response was from a lot of people that they just like it just the way it is. So I suspect that Apple will probably keep a screen size at the 4-inch mark and then offer these larger screen sizes for those customers who want it. I think it's all about giving customers choice. And in this case, if the rumors are correct, Apple are doing just that.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
While on the subject of Apple, the iPad mini with Retina display has now gone on sale. This was the device that was announced with the iPad Air. The iPad mini now has a Retina display, and it has the same resolution, same pixel count on that smaller 7.9-inch screen as you'll find on the iPad Air. In fact, the iPad mini has a higher PPI, higher pixel rate, pixel per inch measurement than the iPad Air because it's squeezing the same amount of pixels into a smaller space. Now, under the hood, you're talking the same A7 processor, Apple's A7 processor. And so basically, the devices are the same. Same processing power, same motion processor, same battery performance, but all the choice that people have now is just the screen size. So it's not a matter of compromising the performance because you've got a smaller screen here. It's exactly the same under the hood. The only difference is that screen size. Now, the iPad mini with Retina display, of course, is available through all the Apple stores and all the Apple resellers. But Telstra have also come out and offered the iPad mini with Retina, also available on a plan. So Telstra, from Saturday, the Telstra stores, which I've listed on my story at Tech Guide, all around Australia, there are selected stores that are selling the iPad mini with Retina on a data plan. And those data plans start from, I think, about $46 a month. And that includes for the 16 gig iPad mini Wi-Fi plus cellular model. And that comes also with 1 gigabyte of data. And, of course, it goes all the way up to the 128 gig model and 8 gig of data at the very top of the line. But the iPad mini with Retina, well, we've only just received our review model. We're going to be reviewing that on Tech Guide in the coming days. And we'll also be chatting about it in a future episode. Now, there is an Australian company that we've been writing about a fair bit lately. It's a company called Studio Proper. They're based out of Melbourne, and we probably know them from the number of cases and mounts they've created for the iPhone and the iPad. The mount they've created, Studio Proper, is called the Wall-E. It's the W-A-L-L-E, Wall-E mount. And this is an X-shaped mount that the cases and the mounts fit into one another. So you mount the Wall-E on the wall, and the case clips into that mount. So whether it's your iPad or your iPhone, they've also extended that offering into the car. So there's a headrest mount, so you want to maybe attach the iPad to the headrest so the kids can watch something in the back seat. There's also a hand strap which lets you hold the device in a strap, and that attaches to the tablet or iPhone case as well. They've also extended that too to some magnetic Wall-E mounts as well. There's some iPhone cases that allow you to do that. But the very latest product from Studio Proper is takes advantage of that Wall-E mount, but it's a Bluetooth speaker, the PA1. If you already have a wall mount for perhaps one of your for an iPad or for the phone, it can clip into that wall mount so that you can position this speaker anywhere in the home where you have these handy little mounts positioned. So the music can go with you anywhere. What they've done with this one, though, is they've listed this device through the Kickstarter program. Now, for those who don't know, Kickstarter is a site that allows companies to gauge interest in a prototype and in this case the speaker, and users or potential customers can pledge an amount of money. If they think, well, yes, I would buy that product, they can pledge an amount of money so that they're guaranteed one of those products if they do reach the goal amount for it to go into production. In this case, there is already plenty of support behind the Wally PA1 Bluetooth speaker, which is due around April next year. But if you're willing to put your money down and pledge to that you would like to buy the product when it's available, you can get one of the very first off the production line. It's a very popular way that companies are using the Kickstarter system to gauge interest, as I said, amongst customers. And once enough money is pledged, then that device goes into full production. And from what I've seen, the PA1 is well on its way because it's had a lot of support. You want to read more about that story and see some pictures of the PA1 Bluetooth speaker system, the wall-mountable Bluetooth speaker system, head over to techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one home Wi-Fi brand. If you want to take all your photos, videos and music, even apps or any website off your smartphone, you can now put them on the big screen using Netgear's PTV 3000 push-to-TV wireless display adapter. There's so much content on our smartphones and on our tablets, we can send that directly to the best screen in the house, our television. The push-to-TV will mirror whatever is displayed on your Intel WideEye or Miracast-supported smartphone. Phones like the Galaxy S4, the HTC One, the LG G2 and the Optimus G, or the tablet or laptop, anything that's on those devices can now be beamed directly to your HD TV. So you can now browse the web, play your favorite online videos, or enjoy a slideshow of your photos wirelessly on your TV without having to connect your mobile device with a cable to the television. Push-to TV supports up to 1080p high definition and 5.1 surround sound for an awesome home entertainment experience. So if you want to see more, check out Netgear's Push to TV wireless display adapter at netgear.com.au/push to TV. That's P-U-S-H, the number 2, TV.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Alrighty, this week we're going to kick off the reviews on the golf course. The Garmin have put out a product, the Approach S4 GPS Golf Watch. It might be a mouthful, but it is certainly a very, very handy product if you're an avid golfer. And it's getting to that time of year. The daylight saving has kicked in. The weather's getting warmer. A lot of people are going to head to the golf course, and they should consider Garmin's new device to be their caddy that can fit to on their wrist. This watch gives you distances to the front, middle, and back of the green. It comes preloaded too with 30,000 international courses that are already on board, so you can take this anywhere in the world and it will then recognize using GPS the course where you're playing. So the information it gives you, apart from the distances to the front, back and middle of the green, it gives you layup distances, dogleg distances, and can even measure individual shots so you can build up your match stats around the course. So you can take note of the fairways hit, the number of putts you've had on each green, so that it's not only helping you with the right distances, it's also keeping score and keeping track of your stats as well. But the other beautiful part about this, the other excellent feature of this product, is the fact that it's also like a smartwatch. It links wirelessly with your iPhone. So if you've got an iPhone, you can pair this to the Garmin Approach S4 and you'll receive notifications on your wrist. So you'll know when you've had an email, a text message. So you can leave your iPhone in the bag, in your golf bag, and still know if you've got emails and text messages coming in just by looking down at your wrist. Another cool feature is the green view. It gives you a shot of the green, so the shape and layout of the green, with the ability then to drag the pin according to that day's placement. So you can look up ahead, see the green, the flag maybe in the back right-hand corner. You can actually drag it to that position, that relative position, so you're getting an accurate measurement. And the beauty of having all those courses preloaded is there are no ongoing fees, no subscription fees. It's one purchase out of the box. It's going to work. Also on the device is an odometer and a timer. So not only can you see how long it's taking you to play your round, you can also see how far you've walked. So it's a an all-round solution. Powered by a rechargeable lithium-ion battery, so that can run up to 10 hours in golf mode. So that's plenty of charge to get through at least a couple of rounds. The Garmin Approach S4 GPS Golf Watch is available now, and it's priced at $399. If you want to take a closer look, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Okay, let's turn our attention to some music, and a company that knows a little bit about digital radios and speaker systems is Pure. Pure is a UK brand that is distributed here in Australia by Pioneer, and their latest device is the new Contour i1 Air digital sound system. Now, this is a dome-shaped speaker that has got a unique ability. It's got a docking system that can fit both the 30-pin, the older 30-pin dock connector, as well as the new lightning connector. So you can say this can literally fit any iPhone. No, I'm not talking wirelessly, which you can do that as well. It can physically fit either of those devices, whether it's an older iPhone or the more recent iPhone 5, 5S or 5C, physically in the dock because it's got both of those connections on board. But you can all, if you don't want to connect it physically, it's also got a wireless streaming capability too. It takes advantage of AirPlay, so you can wirelessly send your music to the Pure device. Now, as I said, it's got a dome shape with the dock that sits in the middle of the product. It also has displays the time, so you can use it as a clock as well. But what Pure has done, they've packed in a few speakers into this dome-shaped speaker, a few drivers, I should say. It's got also a revolving dock so that it can disappear when you're not using it. But it's got enough power, enough audio output to really fill up the room. They really know what they're doing. Pure, they make some excellent products, so their audio is very impressive. There's also an app that runs with the Pure device called Pure Connect, and this is gives you access to even more content. So you've got your own content with your music, whatever's playing out of your phone, out of your iPhone, but the Pure Connect app also links you to more than 20,000 global internet radio stations and also more than 200,000 free on-demand programs like podcasts and other pre-recorded programs through that app. So not a bad value device if you love your music, you want access to that content. The Pure Contour i1 Air is priced at $349 and is available now from Harvey Norman and Specialist Electronic Stores. And you can read that full story and see pictures of the device at techguide.com.au. Now, I like a big screen smartphone. We did mention earlier the rumors about Apple producing a larger screen device, or devices, a couple of iPhones they're working on. But Sony has already done this. Sony Xperia Z Ultra was first unveiled at IFA in Berlin. I was at the trade show there in Germany, and I did see this firsthand, but I've also taken the time to do a full review of this product. Now, this is a smartphone. If it could be called that, it's almost big enough to be a tablet. This has got a 6.4-inch screen. That's very large screen. And the reaction I've got whenever I've shown this device to anyone else, they've laughed. They've said, wow, that's so big. It's huge. And then they get it in their hand and they notice how thin it is. It's only 6.5 millimeters thick, the thinnest Android smartphone on the market. But it's got this massive 6.4-inch screen. But I have to say, the screen is excellent quality. Sony have put in there the tri-luminous technology that's found on their very popular range of smart TVs, so the picture looks gorgeous. It's a great-looking screen. It's a very big screen. It's not for everyone, so while it's very thin, it's only 6.5 mil, it is got a 6.4-inch screen, so it's quite large. You know, holding this in your hand, holding it up to your head, it's a big device. It's not for everyone, and but for those willing to take it on, it offers a really cool experience. And Sony themselves admit this is a product that's not to create content, but more to enjoy content. I use this on my recent trip to the US. I use this device as my tablet almost. I had plenty of video loaded on there. It's got a micro SD card, so I just stacked this micro SD card, inserted that, had all my video content right there at my fingertips. It was a handy size that could fit in your pocket, but still act like a tablet. So I hate to use the word, the phablet word, but it really does fit into that category where it's almost big enough to be a tablet, yet has all the smartphone capabilities, which is something that I quite like. Now, as I said, the design of the device, it's very thin, it's relatively light, but that big screen, you can't avoid it. So if this is something that you're willing to take on and you don't mind carrying around a larger device, it slips quite easily into a bag. You don't have to have it in your pocket if you've got a pocket big enough, that is. Then the Z Ultra can offer all the features and benefits of a smartphone, but give you that larger screen experience. But things that aren't on it, it's got a camera but doesn't have a flash. There's no dedicated camera button. So like, I think if you're really into your photography and you're buying a device because you want to take photos, this probably isn't the choice for you. The Xperia Z1, which is Sony's other smartphone that was released in conjunction with the Z Ultra, that's probably your choice. That's got a 20.7 megapixel camera, smaller screen. It's got a 5-inch screen. But this device, Sony admits themselves, it's a content consumption device. So great for viewing videos, great for listening to your music, whatever content you want to play on this screen, browsing the web, searching through it, looking through your emails. It gives you a nice big screen and a nice area, plenty of screen real estate to almost have a laptop-like or tablet-like experience on the go. The Z Ultra has a 2.2 gigahertz quad-core processor running Android 4.2 Jelly Bean. It's got a camera, 8-megapixel camera, but doesn't have a flash. The pictures are good, not great. It can shoot video as well, full HD video, and again, not quite the quality as the Z1. It's smaller cousin, but the Z Ultra has other abilities, and it's got a terrific battery life. Having a large device is an advantage because you've got a large battery inside, and this really fits that bill as well. The Z Ultra, available now, 6.4 inches. Of fun if you want to take it on. If the people who look at this and see, wow, the possibilities of the screen are the customers that are likely to buy it. The people who look at this device and think, whoa, that's too big, obviously they're not the people who are going to buy it. But for those who are interested, the Sony Xperia Z Ultra, available now for $829. And if you want to head over to techguide.com.au, you can read my full review.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, I've just come back from nearly 3 weeks in the US, and I have to say that it taught me a lot about traveling with gadgets. I get asked this question a lot, and I'm going to go through a few things here. Using your smartphone, what charges do you take, how do you travel efficiently with your gadgets? Let's start off with a tablet. Your tablet is a very handy product when you travel. First of all, it's a terrific entertainment device if you're on the plane. If you're on a flight that doesn't have, or if you've seen all the movies, or you're on a flight that doesn't have your own dedicated screen, then you can use your tablet, whether it's an iPad or an Android tablet, or even a Windows tablet for that matter, as your entertainment device. Now, make sure it's fully charged before you go. On my way home, I came home from Hawaii, was our last stop. The flight home was a 10.5-hour day flight, so there's no going to sleep overnight. It was a day flight, so I filled my iPad full of TV shows and movies, so I had that at my fingertips, because I could have hired an iPad on the plane from Jetstar, but you know, it costs $18 and you're locked into the movies that they've put on it. So if you want to use your own tablet, fill it up with your own programs. Here's a tip for everyone, I use an app called VLC on my iPad, and what that allows you to do, it allows you to upload any video file to your iPad. Traditionally, you need to have it as an MP4. You got to get it into iTunes, sync it to your iPad, and that's a bit of work. If you want to make it easier, you can download that VLC app, and that allows you within iTunes then to add whatever file you want, whatever video file inside that app, it will play it for you, so there's no need to convert it. That's my tip to you. Now, moving on to smartphones. Now, another pet question I get asked a hell of a lot, quite often, what do I do? Do I buy a SIM? Do I keep my SIM? That really depends on how much money you want to spend. If you're a customer who's got an international roaming deal now, you might be with Optus, you may be with Vodafone, there are deals in place where you pay $5 a day, I think in the case of Vodafone, and you get everything that your phone offers. The plan that you would have in Australia, you can use it overseas. That's handy if you want to spend $5 a day. If you're going to be away for a month, that's going to add up. So my advice is, if you're going to whatever country you're traveling to, just buy a prepaid SIM card with talk, text, maybe a gig or two of data. That's what I did. I bought an AT&T SIM card and had unlimited talk, unlimited text, 2 gigabytes of data, and that lasted 30 days, that credit. So what I did with that is I used it as a hotspot as well. So if I needed data on the go, my iPad's a Wi-Fi only iPad, so I used to use my Galaxy Note 3 with my AT&T SIM card, turn that into a hotspot so I could connect my iPad. I could even connect my iPhone. My iPhone still had my Australian number because I had to still be receiving calls and knowing who's calling me and voicemail, etc. So I needed to, whenever I needed to connect my iPhone to the network, I would also use the Note 3 as a hotspot, and the iPhone would then be able to get on the internet. I also used the Note 3 hotspot to connect my laptop. There's several stories you saw on Tech Guide were uploaded in the middle of New York using my Galaxy Note 3 as the hotspot. So it was uploaded to Tech Guide on the fly using the Galaxy Note 3 with that AT&T SIM. Now, if there's several people traveling, if you want to, say, for example, there's a family of four, my advice, if you just want to use the data, I think between four people, you probably don't need to get four SIM cards. If you got maybe one or two SIM cards, those two people can set up hotspots for the other people to use it to get on the network when they're not in a Wi-Fi zone. Now, if you're traveling to the US, Wi-Fi is pretty easy to find. Every Starbucks, a lot of cafes, McDonald's, a lot of restaurants have all got Wi-Fi. It's very easy to find. A lot of shopping centers have got it as well. So there's probably no need for everyone to have a SIM card. You might choose not to have a SIM card and just use Wi-Fi, because you can still use things like FaceTime, Skype, Viber, all these apps that make use of data to contact your loved ones here at home. Moving along to the chargers and all the cables that you need to take with you, there is a way to reduce the number of cables you do have to take with you. What I do when I travel is I take an Australian power board. So it's a power board with, say, 4 or 5 outlets on it. I use one adapter plug, so that plugs into the wall wherever I'm traveling, and that gives me then 4 or 5 Aussie connections where I can just use my normal adapters when I'm traveling. Another idea is to use a USB charger. There are power boards and even in-wall plugs that have USB inputs, so that you can now take just your USB cable and use the USB charger, and then just simply change the USB cable, whether it's micro USB, lightning if you use an iPhone or an iPad, or if you use a Kindle, micro USB works for the Kindle, Android devices, so you can limit the number of cables you take. You don't have to take 15 different cables. You maybe only need to take 2 or 3. So it helps you not have to pack your entire carry-on luggage. Won't be full of cables if you follow that advice. If you're traveling with gadgets, and we all like to do it, hopefully those tips can help you streamline your trip. And that's our show for another week. You can read about everything we've talked about here on the show at techguide.com.au. That's my website. If you want to get in touch with us too, please feel free to send us an email. That address is info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us help desk questions or suggestions to the Tech Guide Forum. The Tech Guide Forum is a great way for readers to submit questions, or they need advice on a product, and myself or one of my many readers will help answer those questions on our forum. So it's a handy place to be. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We look forward to you tuning again next week. So in the meantime, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.